and then we could go to heaven. But I want to talk to you about he set his face to go. Amen. He set his face to go. He had an approaching deadline. He had something that he had to do, and he had to do it then. And there was no deterring him. There was no changing him. Some people say, well, what if Jesus hadn't went to the cross? There was no way he was not going to the cross. He said that. That's what he came for, was to go to the cross. He was the only baby ever born to bleed. He was born to bleed and die for my sins and your sins. And that was a deadline he had to keep. And it had to be done at the right time, in the right place, by the right people. It had to be done. And I got to thinking about things that's going on in the world today, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of deadlines. Our life's full of deadlines. Our life's full of deadlines. There are things we have to do at a certain time, and we must do them, or it will never happen, or it'll never happen right. And it's just common stuff. Newspapers operate on a deadline. TV media operates on a deadline. The radio operates on a deadline. Schools operate on a deadline. Governments operate on deadlines. Businesses must operate on deadlines. Churches operate on deadlines. We all have things we have to do at a certain time in a certain order, or it will not get done, or it won't get done right. Would you agree with me? There's a lot of deadlines in life. The Bible says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. That's a deadline. You were born at that time that God had appointed that you would be born at that time. And you die at the time that God has appointed for you to die. And there's no change in that. Now you can shorten your life, but that just means you didn't meet your deadline. You hurried it up. And a lot of people do that. They hurry up their deadlines, habits and hobbies and relationships, hurry up your deadline. Sin hurries up your deadline. But God has a time he wants you to be born, and he has a time that he wants you to die, and he made those times before you were ever born. Amen. He made those before the earth was ever created. Yes, and it must be, it is appointed unto man once to die. It's an appointment everybody in here will keep. Unless the trumpet sounds and Jesus changes your body in a moment, twinkling of an eye, if he translates that body into that new body and takes you out of here, that's called the rapture. If that doesn't happen, you will meet that deadline of death. Hebrews says it. All through the scriptures it says it. Hebrews said it is appointed. It is appointed. Now I know we don't like to talk about that. But if Jesus, if he doesn't come soon, we will all die. Yeah. Death is as natural as birth. Yeah. It's a part of a human experience. And you say, well, I'm scared to die. Well, if you're a Christian, God will give you the grace when it comes time to die. Right. You will not be afraid. I've seen many die not afraid. And I've seen others die afraid who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Our deadlines have come, and we'll step over. There's a line drawn. There's over that line, and I'm going to step out of this world into the other world. Amen. Now, my body will die, but my soul and spirit's going to live forever, and I'm an eternal being on the inside. You just see my shell. Yeah. You know, but I'm me on the inside. You really don't know what I look like. I'm really good looking. Really, but on the inside, I'm fat, too. I'm fat on the inside. And but one day that God's going to say, okay, it's time. And I'm going to say, all right, Lord, here I am. You take your last breath on this side and you take your next breath on the other. You take your last sight, you see your last thing on one side, you see your next thing on the other side. Ain't that something? And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the believer. But for the unbeliever in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. There's only two destinations. And whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, there is an appointment that you will keep. And God only knows when that is. I've seen the doctor come in many times and tell people, say, well, call your family. You're going to die tonight. And we go in and pray, anoint them with oil. And next day, they wake up and want breakfast. and lived years and years and years after that. Amen. Amen. I've seen that over and over and over. And God can do that, but God's the one that sets the deadline. Now, I don't know when mine is. I don't know when yours is. I don't know. Hey, I don't want to know when yours is. I really don't know, want to know when mine is. But I'll tell you the truth, God has that said. Now, the greatest illustration of that deadline is Jesus Christ. That's the greatest illustration. He is our illustration for everything as believers. The Bible says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And you know the story, to go to that cross. And he steadfastly, that means stead, fast. I'm not moving. I'm doing this. This is what I'm going to do. And nothing can stop me from doing this. And all the devils in hell could not stop him from going to that one thing that he was born to do, and that's to die. Now, he's our best example. And John chapter 18, if you have your Bible, you want to turn there. John 18, verse 37. John 18, verse 37. This morning I started teaching out of the book of James, and it went so fast I couldn't believe it. We just started teaching out of the book of James. You ought to come to Sunday school. And it is a works and faith book. Instead of faith and works, it's a works and faith. He says, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. And every Christian ought to know that. Well, no, there are some works that are true, that go along with our faith. And but as I was reading it, I realized I was getting done quick. And then I thought, well, all the bad ones are not here. I spend so much time on the bad ones, it holds me up, and the good ones are here today, so I'm finishing early. But if you're bad, come anyway. Maybe we can make you into a good one. Amen. Oh my. One time I said that, and I said, all the ugly ones stay home, and Tracy got mad at me because he wasn't here that day. And, Amen. John 18:37. I want to show you something. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now the cross was on Jesus' mind even when he was talking to Pilate. Now Pilate thought he was trying him to see if he was innocent or guilty. But there was no trial. It was an appointment.
Yes, sir.
There was no decision to be made. It was already an appointment. There was no discussion to be had. It was already an appointment. And Jesus had steadfastly set his face to go to the cross, and Pilate thought he could do something to intervene to appease these Jews and not kill this innocent man. But there was nothing that Pilate could do because Jesus said, this is why I came. Is it not amazing? You read that story, Brother Michael, and you'll see nobody in that story, Jew or Gentile, even the believers, did not understand that he steadfastly had his face set to go to the cross, and nothing you could do was going to change it. And we talk about him being crooked accusers and false accusers and crooked lawgivers and the crooked priests and the cowardly Pilate, but that didn't make any difference. He had set his face to go to the cross. And thank God he did. Thank God all the devils in hell couldn't change it. Thank God, don't you think the angels wanted to change that? Thank God the angels couldn't change it. Amen. All the angels of heaven looking down that day thinking, God, can we not stop this mess? And God looked down and said, no, this is why he came, that he might suffer and die for sinners, so I could pay for their sins myself and save them myself, because they can't do it themselves. Thank God he steadfastly set his face to the cross. Thank God nothing could change that. I feel the Spirit. Thank God nobody could change that. And now look at John 14:19. In verse 19, he says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. The cross was in his teaching as he instructed his disciples before his deadline. He was instructing his disciples that they're going to kill me and they're not going to see me anymore. But one day you'll see me. Thank God. He steadfastly had his face set to go to Jerusalem to die on the cross. You know what? To cross that deadline. There was a deadline set, and Jesus knew it, and as much as disciples listened to his preaching, they never understood what he said until one day he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And that day they were born again, Brother Allen. The Spirit of God moved in them, and now they understood it. But as he taught them, they did not understand half of what he said. But then that day that they were born again, the Holy Spirit of God just revealed it to them all of a sudden so that they could write it down to where you and I could see it. Now think about that. He looked at his disciples and he said, I'm about to go away. Now I'm not going to leave you comforted. I'm going to send you a comforter, he said. He said, but I'm going to leave you. And he said, and they will see me no more, but you will see me. And here's what he's saying. I'm just about to my deadline. I'm just about to that last day in my life before I pay for the sins of the world. And they did not understand it. And we look at sinners and we say, well, you know, Jesus died for your sins, and they don't see it. And I didn't see it for 23 years. I didn't see it. Yeah. But then all of a sudden one day the Holy Spirit revealed it to me and said he crossed death's deadline to save you. He crossed death's deadline. He kept going. His face was set. He steadfastly set his face. He would not be deterred. He would not be moved one way or the other. He was going to the cross, and thank God he crossed that last deadline and died so I could be saved. Amen. You think your deadline for your doctor's appointment is important? You ought to look at this one. Amen. You think your deadline for your banker's appointment is important? You better look at this one. Amen. You think your deadline to get to school or work is important? You better look at this deadline, because Jesus would not be deterred, thank God. And he told his disciples, there's only a few more steps and I'm crossing that last deadline, and I need to tell you some things, and you're not even going to understand them yet. But one day when the comforters come, he'll reveal all things to you, sir, and you'll understand then. And I remember before I was saved, I'd try to listen to preaching, and I'd try to read Christian books, you know, and I couldn't understand half of it. And there was no hope in opening the Bible. I'd open the Bible and try to read it. It didn't make any sense to me. And then thank God one day, I got close to my deadline where I said, I'm going to believe or not.
Oh, thank you, Father.
And there's a deadline for that one too. And thank God I didn't cross that deadline and say not. But that day I crossed the deadline and said, I believe. And that day he saved me. And that day, once he saved me, he opened my eyes. The Holy Spirit came in. He breathed on me, the Holy Ghost. And he came in. And now I can open the Bible and I understand every word. Every word. I don't have a problem with it. Some people say, I can't understand the Bible. Hey, maybe you just hadn't crossed the right line yet. Amen. Maybe you need to cross that line called faith. Believe, call on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Amen. And so Jesus tried to tell them, but they didn't see it. And then in Luke 22, if you will, Luke 22, verse 42. And y'all shouldn't be in a hurry to get home today. You've been eating for about 4 or 5 days now. Luke 22, 42. Jesus said this, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Some people say, well, Jesus didn't want to die. He didn't say that. Jesus didn't want to take on those filthy, vile, ugly, nasty sins which it was put on him on that tree. He'd never known sin. He'd never experienced sin. He was pure and holy and perfect in every way. Holy, 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 because he was God in the flesh. And he didn't pray not to go and be crucified. He prayed for the weight of the sin that was put on him. Isaiah said, all of our iniquities was put on him on that tree. But then he said this. He said, but Father, that's the deadline I'm going to cross. And not my will, but thy will be done. I'll do it. When it comes time to do it, I'll do it, Lord. He didn't refuse the cross. The cross was in his prayers. He knew somebody had to pay for sin because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He knew somebody had to pay for that sin, and he also knew nobody qualified.
That's right.
Nobody qualified. I remember I used to tell that preacher, Bully Falkenberry, come to my house. He'd say, son, you need to get saved. I said, well, I'm going to quit lying, cussing, cheating, stealing, drinking, and doing running around this crowd, and I'll join your church and get baptized. I'll be a Christian. He said, son, you'll die and go to hell.
That's right.
He said, because you can't do that. I said, can't do what? I thought that's what Christians are. He said, some of them are, some of them ain't. He said, and even if you could quit sinning, if you never sinned another day in your life, who's going to pay for what you've already done? You need a Savior. You need a sin payment. Somebody's got to pay for your sin. And thank God Jesus didn't shirk his responsibility because of the ugliness and the vile, filthy things that we've done and do. And thank God he said, not my will, but thy will, Father. I'll go to the cross. I'll take that, Father. I'll do it for them because I love them.
Amen.
But you know, there's another deadline that he had. You ever thought about this? His resurrection. 3 days later, he told them. They didn't hear him. He said, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And they thought he meant the other temple. He didn't mean that. He meant his body. And they put him in the grave. And by the way, it wasn't on Friday. You can't get Friday to Sunday morning, get 3 days and three nights, no matter how your math works. New math, old math, Japanese, Chinese math, whatever it is. 3 days and three nights he laid in that grave. And bright and early, well, right before sunup, the Bible says, Mary went to his tomb. He wasn't there. He got up sometime in the dark. And why do you have a sunrise service? I don't have a sunrise service. He was up and gone before the sun came up. Amen. 3 days and three nights. And guess what? He had to cross that deadline of resurrection to prove that God had accepted the sacrifice of his body on the tree. That was proof. No man ever raised up his own body. And by coming out of that grave that third day, he said this, the sacrifice is accepted.
Amen.
Now whosoever will can be saved.
Recently.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And so we've got a resurrection coming too. Now I've got a death coming. There's a deadline. It's coming. But also, I've got a resurrection coming too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 said this, hey, this corruptible must put on incorruption.
Yeah.
Amen. This mortal must put on immortality. And he said, hey, we have victory in our death through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And because of that, I've got a deadline that when that trumpet sounds one day, I don't know when it's going to be. Might be pretty soon. I don't know if I'm even going to be dead yet or not. 1 Thessalonians says that we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. But listen, the dead go first. If you don't believe that, go to any Baptist church and wait till 12 o'clock and the dead rise first and run out that door. I can tell some of you don't like that. Now they'll be going out the side door. That's where I used to go out before I got saved too, the side door. But listen, not only do I have that deadline of death, it's coming. It might be today, might be tonight. You know, you might choke on a turkey bone. I don't know. Does turkey have that crowd at my house, I didn't even get to see the wishbone. But listen, just sure as I'm going to die, I'm going to rise. Now, it may not be 3 days after I die. It may be. It may come back 3 days after I die. But whether 3 days or 3 centuries, I'm getting up. Hey, that's a deadline. And when that trumpet sounds, he says, come up hither. I'm coming up out of that ground with a new body. A new body. And thank God, this one's pretty tired. I get a new body. And it's going to be just like his body. And the Bible says we'll know him when we see him because we'll see him as he is and we'll be like him. So I'm going to get me a new body. When he left, he was 33 and a half years old. Will I be 33 and a half years old again? Amen. Amen. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Unless you're 29. But I'm going to cross it. Poor Everett, he crossed it the other day. She said he usually sleeps in the chair because of his disease. His back hurts and things hurt. Lou Gehrig's disease. And so he sleeps in the easy chair a lot. And she said she always comes through and she don't want to startle him, but she'll just bump his chair when she goes by. You know how Lily is, you know. Hard to keep quiet. She got to do something. And so she bumped that chair and said he didn't move. So he usually wakes up. So she goes over and fixes coffee and comes back. She feels him and he's gone. He's gone. But don't go, aw. Say aw for her, not for him. Amen. He's on the other side. And she said that. She said he went to sleep in the living room and woke up in heaven. Amen. Hey, but it ain't over yet. One day that trumpet's going to sound, that dead body's going to get up. And this old body right here be decayed. You say, what about those who's cremated? He knows where those ashes are. Don't worry about that. Amen. Amen. He's got every hair of your head numbered, he says. And some of us, that don't take a lot of numbers. My granddaughter hadn't never seen the top of my head till the other day, that little redhead. She said, Papa, you got a hole in your hair. She moved my hair. I said, leave it alone. It's fine. But he's going, hey, all those hairs I've lost, he knows where they had every one of them. I'm going to get every one of them back. Amen. Amen. Come on. What you laughing at? You got a full head of hair. You'll get old. Shut up. One day. New body. That's a deadline. It's going to happen. It's an appointment. I can't change that. Nobody will stay in the ground. So I got one I'm going to cross as death. Another one is resurrection. Jesus did that, so I know I'm going to do that. And he promised me I was going to do that. And then I want you to notice this, and I'm not going to turn there. I'm running out of time. But in Acts chapter 1, when you go read it, you'll see that as they stood there, he ascended up into heaven. That means he rose up into heaven. They literally saw the body. He wasn't a spook. He just got through eating bread with them.
Right.
He just got through eating fish with them. Listen, his body just ascended, just like Elijah, just ascended up into heaven, went up into heaven. And because he had a glorified body, he could do that. And did you know one day I've got that same promise that God's going to let me ascend up into heaven? In my body? New body. Brand new body. And I think when that trumpet sounds, da-da-da-da, and we'll be changed and twinkle your eye, we'll be changed moment, twinkle of eye, and this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible will put on incorruption, and then he'll say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? And listen, my victory's in Christ, and the grave doesn't sting me anymore. He done took that sting out. And this body, brand new, will just rise up into the Lord. Now that's an appointment. I can't change it. It's already set. That's why he said, don't get so attached to things of this world that the next one don't look too good. Amen. Because every one of you leaving this world.
Yeah.
And then those who are unbelievers, they're going to get a new body. An eternal, immortal body, incorruptible, but it's going to be judged and sent down to the depths of hell. In a body. Don't believe it? Go read it. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He said, I thirst in a body. And so, lastly, that second coming. Now, at the rapture of 1 Thessalonians, the trumpet sounds, he comes to the clouds, he doesn't come down, we go up to meet him. But in the second coming, he comes down riding a white horse with a sash that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's riding in power and glory, not a little baby this time. And listen, he's going to make war, but then finally, he's going to stand up in Jerusalem and rule the world for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. Amen. And guess who's coming with him? Amen. Amen. That's another appointment. He's riding that white horse, and guess who's behind him? Me and you. And we're riding white horses too. And the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. He's going to let us rule and reign. Are y'all listening? I'm not just going to be a humble servant anymore. I'm going to be an assistant to the king. And I get rule and reign, and I've already prayed for it. Don't ask for it. Lancaster County, where I grew up, and I want a big rod of iron. And I'm going to straighten some things out down there. Amen? Hey, I ain't playing. And we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000. That's another appointment. We're coming with him. Why in the world would Christians be down in the mountain? Well, preacher, COVID. Oh, shut up. Jesus is coming. You're going to rule and reign with him. There won't be no more sickness, no more death, no more disease. You'll be kings and priests, and you'll be honored and glorified with him. And thank God. That's good news. And that's an appointment you got. You can't get out of it. Y'all still with me? But then, if that ain't enough, at the end of that 1,000 years, he turns the devil loose for a season. I don't know how long a season is. The Bible doesn't say. And then there's war with his army and God's army. And then in the end, the Bible says that the earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. And the heavens are going to be rolled back like a scroll. And there's going to be nothing there. And we're going to be standing out in nothing. And there will be a great white throne judgment where the wicked and the dead, wicked people, they'll be resurrected from hell, resurrected from the grave, and they'll stand before that throne, and thank God I have an appointment behind the throne. I'm not being judged, I'm just a spectator there. Amen? And I'm going to be there, and I'm going to see that. And by the way, I want to see that. They talk about justice and all this stuff. We're not going to have justice till that day comes. When the King of Kings and Lord of Lords rules and reigns for 1,000 years, then after that, the Democrat or the Republican or the Congress or the House of Representatives, but God himself is going to be the judge, and I have an appointment to be at that trial. Amen. You know what happens? He's going to cast them off in the lake of fire one by one. They're going to read from the books it says, and if their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he's going to say, I don't know you. Cast him into the outer darkness in that bottomless pit. And you know what I'm going to say? A bunch of them. I'm going to say, Amen! That's right. You take some child abuser, cast him. Amen! You take some of these perverts that's ruining the children of this nation, cast him. Amen! Killing babies, perverting little children. Amen! Corrupting politics, corrupting a God, used to be a God-fearing nation. Amen! Preacher, I don't like that. Well, I don't care if you like it. I'm going to be there. That's my appointment. You keep yours wherever it's going to be. I'm going to be there. Amen. Amen. I got to quit. I could preach on this all day, but y'all wouldn't listen all day. Now, several appointments I'm going to finish. You've got an appointment for birth. You've got an appointment for death. You've got an appointment to resurrection, eternal life, heaven, or you have a resurrection to eternal death in hell. Now, I want you to look at your appointment book, what you got going. What's your most important thing in the future as you see an appointment? What's your most important appointment that you have? I'm going to tell you, if it's things of this world, you're going to be sadly, sadly disappointed. They will never fulfill you. You can't make enough money to be happy. I got a relative right now, millionaire, unhappy, very unhappy man. Got everything. You wouldn't believe what the man's got. Very unhappy man. It won't make you happy. Well, I'm going to find this woman or this man. They're going to make me happy. I've known people had 4 and 5 spouses. They're still not happy. No person on planet Earth is going to ever fulfill you like God can.
Yes.
How's your appointment? Well, I'm going to tell you. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. He's coming. And if he doesn't get here pretty soon, you're going to die. And we'll be preaching your funeral. And people will weep and cry over you. But did you make the right appointment before you left? I preached both kinds of funerals. I preached a lot of funerals. I knew they had that appointment settled. It was fixed. They went to heaven. Then I preached a lot of funerals where they did not have it set. And I knew it, and everybody knew it. Do you know how hard it is to comfort people at a funeral if they know the person went to hell? No comfort. How's your appointment? What's your most important appointment? Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
You don't know what a day may bring forth, the Bible says. This may be your last day. Your appointment may be tonight, may be tomorrow. And if you're saved, listen, how are you feeling about leaving this old world? If you're saved and you're hanging on to things of this world, you're not looking forward to that appointment. But you ain't changing it. God's already set his face to that appointment. I'm ready. I got ready in Martinsfield 1978. There's nothing else I need to do. I turned to him from my sin, and I asked the Lord to save me. That day he saved me by faith. I didn't even have faith to believe that. He gave me the faith to believe it. And when I ask, you're waiting for the faith. You better ask, then he'll give you the faith.
That's right.
And ever since that day, I knew if I die right now, I'll go to heaven. Not because I'm a good person. I'm not always a good person. Not because I'm sinless, I'll never be sinless till I get a body like his. Not because I'm a preacher, there's a lot of preachers going straight to hell when they die. Not because I say I'm a believer, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I settled that. That's up to him.
Yes.
Appointments with him? Hey, listen, not only do I have an appointment with him, but he's coming to get me to take me to the appointment. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Father, for your inerrant, inspired word. Thank you that not one jot nor, Lord, our most important appointment is prepare to meet thy God. One day we're going to meet you, Father. And the only way that we can get into heaven is through your Son and his finished work on Calvary and his bodily resurrection. And Lord, none of us deserve it. There's not one of us deserves that. We all, our appointment ought to be hell. It ought to be. Every one of us. Everybody's ever been born other than him. But thank God you said if we'd call, you'd answer. If we'd call, you'd save us. Many of you in this room have called and you've saved them. But Lord, what about their other appointments? Are they ready for them? Are they ready for that death step? Are they ready for that eternity step? Are they ready to be serving in the new kingdom? Are they ready for the rapture? Do others see that they're ready? Is Christ in them and on them and around them? Lord, help us to be better Christians.
Yes, Lord.
And then, Lord, help us to be peacemakers in this old world.
Yes, Lord.
Wicked, wild, ugly world, God.
Yes,
and there is no peace outside of you. Help us show people that. And then, Lord, one day when the trumpet sounds and we stand before you, we can say, thank you, Jesus. You paid it all. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to be saved today, meet me down here. I'll meet you right over here on this side. If you're already saved, just need to come talk to the Lord. The altar's always open. Always open. Come on. Maybe you just need to come and talk to him. Come on.
300. 300.
Come on. Don't wait. Come on. Come on.